apparently I've got no music with my thing today. Because that's just how things are going. Technology's been absolutely wonderful today. I don't know about you guys, but this whole Facebook going down thing, it's kind of like, I don't know, it hasn't ruined my day, but it's kind of frustrated me just a little bit, because there was quite a few things that I had to do today, and I just couldn't, so I had to find something else to do, you know, in real life. So, that makes life fun sometimes. But, you know, I don't know why it's gone down. Facebook is insane. There's a lot of speculation. Facebook's been saying for a little while now that it's going to start clamping down on vaccine misinformation, censoring groups, blah, blah, blah. So it could be just a maintenance thing because it's been global. It could be, you know, there's something to hide. We don't really know. All I know is it's kind of putting a little bit of a pain in the butt for people who actually need to do it for, you know, work or activism stuff or any of that kind of stuff. But at least the messenger has been kind of working. Hold on here. We're going to see if we can grab our guest today. We're going to figure something out. Either Skype or call. We're going to somehow get this guy in here. We have Justin Long today. He's one of the people that I work with over at Yellow Vest, RIC Alliance. We're working diligently to figure some stuff out to start implementing the RIC, the referendum initiated by the citizens, into some sort of platform for Canadian citizens. Now, I don't really have anything to do much with citizenship because if you've listened to my shows before, I don't really care much for any of that stuff. But, you know, it would be good for people to actually be able to have their voice when it comes to things like politics and policies and all that fun stuff being made. So our valiant leader, Mr. Will Lehman, has brought on myself and this fella here, Justin. We're going to see if he's here. Oh, there he might be. What's crack-a-lack?
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Oh, you know.
You have headphones, hey?
Yeah, I do. Can you hear me fine?
Perfect. Yeah, I can hear you 110%.
Great.
So how's the weather where you are? Is it the most amazing thing ever with springtime coming?
Actually, it's been a pretty decent day weather-wise in Hamilton, yeah. It's not too shabby. Most of the snow is melting.
Nice. It's been like, it's like that sun is like searing down today. It's like, I'm surprised in just like a week, like so much snow is gone. It's supposed to be like +9 next week. So it's like, whoa, flooding.
We already got rid of most of our snow, so it won't be too much flooding. But I'm happy to get rid of the rest of it, and it just makes me happy to look forward to summer. I hate the winter.
I don't mind it. I'm just not a big fan of, like, the minus 30 for, like, weeks on end. It's like, hey, can y'all, like, give us some fucking minus 20 or something? Or even, like, minus 15? I can deal with the minus 15. I'd love minus 15, but it's the whole minus 30. It just really gets in your bones and it tries to kill you.
Yeah, especially if you have aching joints and aching muscles or anything like that. It just makes it worse.
Yeah, or if you're old.
Yeah, my grandfather had gout, so we knew ahead of time if it was going to rain or if the temperature dropped. He was like, he was better than the weatherman. I think they should replace all the weathermen on TV with old men with gout.
They wouldn't be liars then.
Right? They'd be more accurate. They'd be like, well,
right?
I'm sore as fuck. I'm sore as hell, so it's going to rain in a couple hours. Like, yeah.
You can swear on my show.
Okay, good to know.
No, just letting you know.
A few are bound to slip out, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, depending on how passionate I get on a subject, it tends to get a little bit excessive. So I tend to warn all my radio show guests that if you've got kids screaming in the background, that's cool. If you're swearing, that's cool. If everything goes, it's a semi-family-friendly show. If you, you know, like your kids not, or if you don't care if they hear the F-bomb or two, you know,
oh, yeah, the kids hear it here. You can't avoid it. Sometimes it just slips.
Oh, yeah. My daughter likes to tell me when we're having supper or something, she'll look at me and she'll give me a thumbs up. She's like, Mom, this is really fucking good. It's like, yes, it is, kiddo.
That's when you know you're raising them right?
Oh, yeah. And the best thing is she can actually, like, she knows when not to do it in public. Because we went to the library the other day, and they had snacks there. And she looked at me, and she's like, Mom, and I started sweating. Because, like, you know, this is more of a conservative Christian community. I was starting to sweat bullets already. I was like, oh, snap, she's going to say it in public. But she's like, Mom. I was like, yes, Peaky. And she's just like, this is really refreshing. And I'm like, did that just come out of my three-year-old's mouth? Like, did that just happen? This is really refreshing. And at that point, at that moment, I knew that I was doing parenting right. Just a three-year-old to be able to exercise distinguishing,
yeah,
you know, between doing it at home and doing it in public. Oh, yeah, I'm the best mom ever. Go me. So, enough about me. What about you? How's your life? How, like, you were... Like, right now, we work together in Yellow Vest, but we haven't really talked anything about, like, how you got here. Like, did you always, like, kind of, were you always, like, somebody who was on the alternative side? Did you kind of have, like, an aha moment? Like, let's start from the beginning. How'd you get here?
Okay, well, yeah, sure. Well, it all started with my mother, and then I was born, and then fast forward. I moved around a lot all through my life, and, yeah, I lived... And then I became a mover when I was about 16, so I got to see a lot of Canada, you know, especially of Ontario. I've probably been everywhere in Ontario through that. And I had my son fairly young. I was 22, and I happened to be living back in Hamilton, so that was like the ball and chain to the city that kept me here. And it was right around the same time that... the mother of my child was pregnant, that I really started researching things, and it started with 9/11 for me. And from there, it was like a snowball effect, just to see how much has happened, how much I've been lied to. And yeah, I'm a history revisionist, so I studied a lot of that. History, it's funny, because I always hated it through high school. I hated it. And once I dropped out of high school and I started learning the real history of things, it's really quite interesting. And I think they do that to you on purpose. They make it boring so you don't pay attention to it, you know.
Yeah.
But so yeah, it was started right around the time right before my son was born, and I haven't stopped, you know what I mean? I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist myself. But so many of them have been proven right over the years that yeah, you can't even really call us crazy anymore. And I'm sure 9/11 will eventually see the light of day, you know what I mean? Truth always comes out. But that was really what started it for me, is the realization that, hey, fire can't drop a steel frame building, and we're not really being told the real story about this. And then history brought me into learning about the Rothschilds and then how the whole banking system works. So that was a big mind fuck. From there, I watched all the Zeitgeist documentaries about money and religion and shit like that. I just love books and YouTube videos. I read a few history books. One of my favorites was Lies My Teacher Taught Me. And I forget the author of that book, but he was a university professor that got sick of reteaching everything to his students. So he basically just wrote a book about all the bullshit propaganda that kids are fed until they reach university. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I've always been kind of into alternative media and trying to know, be aware of what's going on in the world, because the news just gives you one-sided bullshit.
Yeah, it tends to do that just a little bit. Just a little bit.
It's getting much worse. It's getting much worse. Even today, today with all the censorship on Facebook, like, I can't believe how many people are having problems. Apparently something's going on in the States. I don't know.
I'm not exactly sure, because that's the thing, is I've been kind of Googling along, but, like, it's saying it's global, but it's not saying why. Like, they're not even releasing that it's a maintenance issue or that it's a technical issue. They're just saying that they don't know. They don't know what's wrong. It's like, well, you know, to be, like, one of the biggest social media things of our time, you know, you would think that you would at least have something to give us, but there's absolutely nothing at all.
Well, I think there's something fishy about it going on, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I'm sure
yeah.
a lot of people are going to disappear off of Facebook. Like, their just accounts are going to be gone.
Yeah. Well, it's possible, you know, with, oh, my goodness, with Facebook, like, particularly in regards to vaccines. I mean, you know, we've personally experienced, you know, Yellow Vest being censored a bit, but it's hardcore on vaccines. Like, Instagram has already shut down accounts on anything regarding vaccines. Pinterest has. Google and all other search engines besides DuckDuckGo, they've all reconfigured their searchy thing, or I can't find the words for it right now. Their search analytics
algorithm.
Or whatever the hell. Yeah, there you go. Algorithm. I knew it started with an A. They've reconfigured all that. Like, it's Amazon is now not only did Amazon shut down streaming certain videos, now they don't sell certain books either, especially when it comes to autism and cures. Any of those kinds of books, like if it comes to anything like that, they've shut it down. They won't even let, I've seen screenshots, this one lady tried to buy, off my timeline, she tried to buy a book, and Amazon said that they couldn't buy it, you weren't allowed to buy it through Amazon anymore. So she's just like, and I'm just like, you need to start getting buddy-buddy with your local small bookshop, because, you know, small business, supporting small business, and you're not going to be able to get that stuff through the big stuff no more.
Yeah, get whatever you can off the internet now and save it on an external hard drive, you know what I mean? All the files that you can find of all that alternative information, holistic cures, vaccine information. We have a mutual friend, Mika. He sent me a PDF of important vaccine information. So I have that tucked away, you know what I mean? But it's important to have because, yeah, the censorship is getting brutal. It's only getting worse with our current government making plans to further censor social media. You know what I mean? They've already bought off the media, mainstream media, so now they're going for social media platforms.
Yep. That was hilarious. I saw an article the other day. It was some article from, like, pediatricians begging the internet to stop sharing misinformation, anti-vax misinformation, and, like, all these anti-vaxxers spam the comments, and they're like, well, you know, it wasn't even just, it was mostly ex-vaxxers, you know, people who trusted their doctor and then vaccinated their kid and then ended up with, you know, either a dead kid or a seizuring kid or a kid with, you know, mental disabilities or behavioral issues or autoimmune disorders, or it's a plethora all over the place with how many different issues that these kids have. And most of these people I have on my Facebook, but they're commenting and they're just like, so, are you saying this 'cause it's cutting into your checkbook? Like, what's going on here? You know, like, maybe y'all should actually get on social media, 'cause we don't just share memes. We actually share studies and facts and things from your actual site. Like, I did a thing last week, and I was going over a whole bunch of stuff. And it's just like, you know, you can go to the CDC website itself, and you can pull up things like vaccine inserts and studies and all this stuff. And, you know, the stuff that people are arguing with, they're using stuff from the CDC. And it's like, it's hilarious because, you know, this Ethan Lindenberger can do his research from the CDC and the FDA on the internet, but if a mom does it because, you know, their kid ended up half dead, that's not okay. That's not credible.
Yeah. No, it's laughable. They're getting so bad with the censorship and the smearing that they're just losing all credibility, what little credibility they had left, you know what I mean? And yeah, the vaccine things are serious. It's a serious issue. Pumping so much crap to people, and like the schedule, the amount of vaccines they want to give kids, you know, it's like 2 or 3 times the amount that even I got. My kid was a baby. And yeah, it's not good as possible. Whatever I tell people, bring up the whole vaccine argument, I always just bring up the Amish population and how, like, a very minute percentage, less than 1%, I believe it is, actually have autism with the Amish population.
Yep.
And,
it's not
they're estimating it's going to be like, what, 1 in 10 and by in the next 10 years or something for autism in kids? It's crazy.
Something like that. And that's just autism. That's not including immunocompromised, like, diseases. That's not including, you know, like, Like anything like arthritis, I honest to God, I had to put my phone down, walk away, and laugh because they're saying they want to develop a vaccine for arthritis. And it's like, if you actually look in the vaccine insert reactions, it can cause arthritis.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's DTaP or MMR, but it's listed as, I think it was MMR. It's listed as a vaccine reaction, or you can get arthritis from your MMR, so then you're going to get another vaccine to fix the arthritis your MMR caused. Like,
oh yeah, it's big business.
It sounds like
they
a movie.
A lot of money from it. Yeah, it's and nobody wakes up to this fact. Nobody really pays attention. It's a scary thing,
yeah.
And it's
yeah.
going to be even less once they censor us completely. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
People are going to have to wake
it's
up fast.
It's going
to
be.
I think the world will quit all this shit at a fast rate, though. That's why so many evolution is happening all in the world right now.
Hold on, you're cutting up just a little bit here. Can you repeat that?
The world is starting to wake up, and more so at a rapid pace, because it's like, look at all the movements and protests, mass protests that are going on around the world. There's like been, I think, like over 30 countries involved in mass protests in recent like since this year, anyway. In the last like few months. Whole
Well, you're huge into the yellow vests, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, that's what inspired me to become part of this. Like, I'm not a protester or an activist. I'm a researcher, and I try to wake my personal friends up to information, but I don't spend my time trying to annoy people with, like, hey, you got to wake up, because
mm-hmm.
usually that's it. You lose friends that way, and they just call you crazy and shit, but yeah, it's now or never. The whole world is doing it. Everybody's talking about the same thing, so I was inspired to get out there, and I have a lot to say, I guess. I have why waste all that years of research for people. Finally, they will. So, yeah, I've been part of the Yellow Movement since it started in Canada. The Pact for the United Nations Migration Pact was signed on the 11th, and I was out the first week of protest.
Could you repeat that? You're breaking up again here. Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
You're breaking up again here. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, so the world is waking up at a massive pace. You know what I mean? That's what this whole movement is about, and that's what inspired
yep.
me to get out there. It started, this Yellow Vest movement started in Canada December 8th, and the UN Migration Pact was just signed on December 11th, so I was out there on the 15th, and I was protesting with me and my girlfriend. I brought my cup of tea along, and yeah, it's good to meet new people. There was probably about 20 people this weekend I went. It was a really friendly environment. I had coffee and donuts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even the few police officers were around, we offered them. They were polite and friendly to us. And it was definitely the first couple weeks. And the crowd being
Man, this Skype is just
being and the media showed up at the same time on the same weekend. They showed up with signs of racist, white supremacists, and all that. And I was in the Hamilton Spectator that week, where they indirectly implied that I was a white supremacist, which is pretty fun. My girlfriend was with me. She's Jamaican. I am a white supremacist. I'm pretty bad at it. That's what I mean by the media just makes themselves look laughable. You know what I mean? They're so full of shit. But yeah, so Antifa bugged us for around a month straight every weekend. They were there just harassing us, calling us racist. And play around this week, they actually jumped a couple of us. I missed the incident because I was printing off pamphlets. I was late yet, but one of the people that jumped was an elderly old man. Year-old punks that like are pro. You know what I mean? I didn't even realize Canada had so many of these kids. And yeah, they're 22-year-old punks jumping on a guy. Like, we're over there with their communist flag. Yeah, it was brutal. So one of them got arrested one of them got arrested from that incident, and they pretty much stopped coming at that point. And it's been back to peaceful rally again.
Mm-hmm.
I had the pleasure of going to Ottawa to see the convoy that was organized. That was an experience. I wouldn't necessarily call it a pleasure, actually. It was kind of more a lot of their time and energy, donated money to that convoy, and they were expecting to have regular people be able to speak and be heard and speak their message. And the whole convoy was just corrupted halfway through the organizing of it. Before they even left, they changed their name and kind of disavowed the Yellow Vest people because of racist elements within the movement that don't necessarily exist to begin with. And so we knew something was up when they changed the name from the Yellow Vest Convoy to United We Roll. But and we asked the organizers, hey, what's going on? And they're like, oh, it's just so we can maintain publicity sort of deal. We're still Yellow Vest through and through. And yeah, we were supposed to have a bunch of speakers from the people that have been getting attention from the Yellow Vest protests and everything. And when we got to Ottawa, they were censored and told that they couldn't speak. And all the protesters were left to sit in the snow because they had the whole walkway that was all shoveled off, designated for Antifa. So our parliament, our government, gave the red carpet treatment to a bunch of communists and let everyday Canadians that are protesting and angry with what's going on sit in the snow. And then the stage was hijacked as well by politicians like Andrew Beer, Maxime Bernier, just trying to get popularity and get their votes wherever they can. And the people weren't allowed to speak. It was a pretty big disappointment for me to invest my own money and my days off work travel all the way up there. It was also a learning experience. There's other convoys organized, and we know
Justin, if you don't mind, I hate to cut you off. For some reason, your Skype just is just. It must be the show today, because like every time it's always good material with heavy stuff, it always screws up. If you don't mind, can we take a short commercial break, and then I'll try and call you back on your phone? Do you have a cell phone? Don't give me your number over this, but okay. I'm going to try and call you through the station or my phone, and we're going to try and do it that way, because it'll go really good, and then it'll break up and just be really choppy. So it's got to be because we're doing Yellow Vest today. So if you don't mind, we're going to take a 5-minute commercial break, and we'll be back, and we'll try this again. Okay, guys, we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty's Gardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with Tower Gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
Imagine standing barefoot on cushy grass while you use a professional-grade knife to deftly chop fresh vegetables on your organic bamboo cutting board. The team at MyZestiness.com wants to help your family enjoy home cooking like this more often. They do this by offering fun and functional tools that make your time in the kitchen more efficient and enjoyable. MyZestiness.com offers the finest and most interesting kitchen goods and accessories, all backed by their world-class customer service team. Check out their ever-expanding inventory today. Visit MyZestiness.com. That's zesty like spicy, nest like home. MyZestiness.com.
Come join us as we peel away the layers of the unseen, unknown, and uncharted. And we hope you tune in late night, 9 p.m. Pacific time, to get ready to find a clarity after dark.
Tune in to Forsaken Generation, Mondays at 1 to 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we will be revealing the true science behind vaccines, the harm they cause, the stories of the affected families just like our own, and much, much more. So tune in and get the stories that the big news channels refuse to cover. This day and age, we must protect our families from those sworn to do no harm. We will not ingest the lies any longer. Mothers, fathers, doctors, scientists, journalists, speaking out on behalf of the health of humanity. So, join my mom, your host, Lynette Barron, on Forsaken Generation, Mondays, 1 to 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Hello, everybody. This is Sam, host of Against the Grain, and we are back today with Justin. We got him to switch over to his phone, so hopefully we're not going to have as much issues with the breaky-uppy. And I was just telling him, like, you know, it's kind of funny that every time I do a show like this where it talks about, like, really important government matters, we always seem to have problems on my end or on their end. But as soon as we do, like, people that are a little bit not so when we do their stories, like, I'm not going to say – They're not as much like conspiracy or activist, like more out there, like Yellow Vest or anything like that. We never have problems with their shows. So I like to call this the Wingin' Show. You'll probably hear this on like half of my recordings, that this is called the Wingin' Show. I just call it Against the Grain for formalities. But I've always got something going on, so I'm getting pretty good at this kind of stuff.
Well, you got to adapt, right?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta adapt and overcome. That's all you can do. It makes you a better person.
That creativity. It's like when I had Brother K on. I had Brother K on my cell phone on speaker, and then I was talking on this phone with him on speaker because we couldn't get anything to go through Skype, phone. It didn't matter. He couldn't call me. I couldn't call him. So I used my cell phone. We got it done. But anyway, going back to Yellow Vest, you were talking about the convoy and how frustrating that was. Cause I heard you and like a couple other people talk about it. Cause like, you know, like I heard it was going across, you know, the prairies and all this stuff and oh yay, it was a big hurrah. And then it was in Ottawa and then we didn't hear anything other than that, except for, you know, that it didn't go very well. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, like, how could it not possibly go well? Like, it brought up so much attention, and then to hear you say that only certain people were allowed to speak, I think my heart fell into my ass. I was like, that's not even fair.
No, it wasn't. One of those people was named Loretta Ang, and she's a grandmother in a wheelchair. And because we were left in the snow, like, people had to carry her back and forth. And she made the trip all the way up to Ottawa just to be censored. Like, she didn't even get a chance to speak. I was none too happy about any of this. I was one of the few people in the crowd that was screaming and swearing at the politicians to shut the fuck up and go home and calling them liars. Yeah, it wasn't what I went for, that's for sure. But it wasn't a complete loss because I got to meet amazing people. I got to hand out probably like a 1,000 pamphlets or close to it between me and the people we were with. And I got to do a few interviews with alternative media people, like university reporters and such, not the mainstream. And I also got to meet a man named Jack Graham, who is organizing a motorcycle rally in Ottawa. I believe the date is July 20th. And so, yeah, I was happy to meet him and network. I'm still in touch with him. I've been speaking with him a few times. And we're hoping to get that set up and going. So there's going to be a huge motorcycle rally. And like I said, we learned from the mistakes of how the last convoy was hijacked and politicized for political means. They totally dumbed it down. It basically became a rally about just the pipeline and the energy sector in Alberta, when this whole Yellow Vest movement is about so much more than that. It's about going against corrupt governments. It's about fixing everything. It's about the RIC, you know what I mean? Like, even referendum initiated by citizens, it's the heart of this movement. It started in France, probably about a month before it even reached Canada. So before December, I think October, early October. And I'd seen some videos on Facebook and everything about what was going on in France. I knew it was coming to Canada before it even hit here. And I learned about the RIC, what France was going after, probably during week one or week two. And I thought, hey, this is something I can get behind. It would be nice to have that option to hold a referendum and get rid of some of these bullshit laws that we don't want, or get rid of the UN completely, because they're not serving us any favors. Mm-mm. And so I was like, yeah, this would be something I could get behind. Since then, I've learned that there's several countries pushing for this, the same idea, the referendum initiated by citizens. Belgium, Holland, Ireland, Canada, France, Switzerland as well has a similar system that they've been using for years, and it works out really well for them. They recently just had a national referendum and voted no to gun laws so that they could keep their firearms, and I thought that was a great thing.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, I thought that was a great thing. And So, yeah, I was like, this isn't just a protest. You know, I mean, these people are out here week after week, and this is something I can get behind. This is something we all need. We need change, and we need some accountability from our government. We need our voice back and our rights back. So, yeah, I'm all for this. I hopped in feet first and went with it. It's been an uphill battle, because not only has the convoy been corrupted and politicized, but it seems a lot of elements within the whole Yellow Vest movement in Canada have also been corrupted and politicized. People who are running the provincial pages, certain people, all had ties to one political platform or another, or the Alberta Separatist Party. And so when we did try to bring forth the idea of the RIC and the referendum initiated by citizens, we had a lot of pushback, and a lot of people flat out censored us, wouldn't let us make our posts on the page. Essentially, they tried to take the heart out of this movement, which is the RIC, and they tried to turn it into just a political protest about a few of the minor issues. Because anybody who has ties to politicians don't want us thinking outside of the political strong construct of things. They want us thinking inside the box. Mm-hmm. And, this whole idea, this whole concept of a referendum initiated by citizens is a threat to the establishment. It's a threat to corrupt governments everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's catching on to all these countries and so many people is scaring the crap out of them, which is why censorship is going in hardcore. That's why the mainstream media is nothing but a smear campaign for the Liberal government right now. Every time the LFS, 90% of the time the LFS movement gets mentioned on the news, they don't really explain what it is about. They always say it's pro-oil protests or something along those lines, and then they try to make it seem like we're anti-immigrant or racist in some manner. I have plenty of immigrant friends that are also yellow vests, like my Portuguese boss who immigrated here a few years ago, my barber who immigrated from Iraq 27 years ago. He's pro yellow vest. He gives me free haircuts actually since I started this.
That's awesome.
He lets me keep my pamphlets in his store, and I've gotten a few free haircuts on the Saturday before I go out. He's cool as shit. You know what I mean? We just talk politics and corruption and everything as I get my hair cut. But he came from Iraq 27 years ago, and like he earned his way here. He had to wait 7 years, do all the paperwork and criminal checks and everything else. You know what I mean? And free just as much as the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really pissed off that everybody's just coming here, getting a check and put up in a hotel. And like, we're not even really doing a criminal check on these people. We're letting rapists into our country and ex-ISIS militants. It's just, it's asinine. It's crazy. I don't know what the government is thinking.
I don't know. I mean, especially since, you know, when Trudeau got in, I mean, that's the thing that made me the most upset is when they brought in Bill C-51. I mean, Harper was thinking about bringing in, there was protests, global protests, that it shouldn't be happening. Even the UN said, don't do it because it's unconstitutional. Don't do it. And then Justin Trudeau was like, oh, well, you know, if you vote us, we won't do it. We're not, well, he didn't say we wouldn't do it. He said they were unsure. And then as soon as he got in, he did it. And it's like, so you signed away all of our privacy rights for what again? For what again?
Not yet.
Now you can come in and take anything you want if you suspect me to be causing issues. But you're allowing what kind of people back into Canada? Like,
yeah,
not to be hating, but it's like, what did just happen here? Like, that's a little hypocritical, don't you think?
Well, I'm all for immigration. Like, Canada was built with immigrants, and I'm all for it as long as it's done properly. Like, they need a criminal check, and we need to be checking to see if they have ties to terrorism. And, like, these are just normal things, you know what I mean? I don't think it's even too much to ask that they learn to speak one of our two national languages. And these are things that everybody that has immigrated here has had to deal with that we just don't seem to care about anymore. I want to protect Canadian culture, even though Justin Trudeau says we don't have any. I say he's full of shit. Canadians have done a lot of great things, you know what I mean? Like, we took Vimy Ridge when France and the Allies couldn't. Like, fuck, we burnt down the White House. Shit, we're the only country to ever do that, you know what I mean? Invade America and get away with it. We've built great things. We have invented great things. You know what I mean? We invented basketball. We invented penicillin, and the people that invented it gave it away. I believe that's what it was, penicillin. Those were Canadian inventors that just gave the patent away because they wanted to save people. You know what I mean? And the Canadian Space Arm, Avro Arrow, we've created great things. Canadians have a culture to be proud of. And, it just pisses me off when our prime minister goes on national TV and says that we have no core identity or no culture. It makes me angry. Among all the other stupid things he says, like the budget will balance itself. And yeah, I can't even, yeah. He just frustrates me. I can't believe we have a drama TV.
Yeah, it's something else. I'm getting some weird stuff from our listeners right now. Believe it or not, they're actually saying it's dead. Like, it's not even playing right now.
Oh, yeah?
We're being censored, Justin. Yeah, Will says it's dead right now. Like, it's not even playing.
Well, it's good to chat with you anyway, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, that just goes to show. I knew today was going to be a weird one. This morning, Facebook was acting all fucked up all across the board. And, just never seems to stop. We've had a crazy couple of days.
Very. I think I might have to bring this up with our station manager if this is gonna be a thing. I'll see if I can even get a hold of him right now. Because, Will is saying that there's absolutely nothing. It's just dead. It's just dead.
Well, that sucks.
That's okay. We can always do this again next week.
Yeah, I'm all for it. And it makes us kind of proud. We're hitting a nerve. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We must be on to something.
It's good.
We must be on to something if they want to censor us that fucking bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Will's saying it's still dead, and we're still talking, and it's still showing that it's going. It's still saying recording, still saying stream left.
It's like a shadow. It's like a shadow ban.
I think so. This is something. Oh, Militia says she can hear you. Hear us just fine. Will's having issues. Oh, Will says it's back. Okay, cool.
Okay.
I'll
good to
bring
go.
That up anyway because that's really odd.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, shadow banning us from everywhere.
Yeah, well, it's happening on, like, every platform, Facebook, YouTube, fucking everything. I've heard a couple people complain that their YouTube videos that they posted were actually edited, like, without them. Once they posted it, they went back and checked on it, and, like, 3 minutes was cut out of the video and stuff like that. This censorship is getting pretty brutal.
Oh, it's getting to be something else, and I've been telling, like, you know, a lot of people, like, we need to start making our own platforms. Like, I'm starting an e-vendor, like, commerce site because he went and shut down all my anti-vax people. I mean, they were kicking things like bath bombs off, detox bath bombs after your kid vaccinated, so you got to go through and actually detox your kid because it's not like the court cares if they kill your kid. They just, you know, make you do it anyway.
Yeah.
But like things
they just,
like
they
that,
just get
it's like you know.
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, it's
go
like
ahead,
you know
sorry,
things like Gary making social or synthesis social. You know, like we got to start making our own platforms. Like we might even have to go so far as we have to make our own internet providers and stuff. It's like I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, "Oh, well, what if they try to shut you down off the internet?" I'm like, "Well, they're like, you know, oh, they want to kick you off, you know." Certain websites, they're like, well, fine, fuck them, I'll start my own website. And they're like, well, what if they want to kick you off the internet? I'm like, you know, like the service provider. I was like, well, fuck them, I'll start my own service provider then. And they're like, well, what if they want you to kick you off the internet altogether? I was like, fuck them, we'll start our own fucking internet then. Like, can't stop us. And it's like, oh, well, the nation says you can't do that. Well, fuck you, we'll start our own nation then.
Yeah, I can do anything. As long as I don't hurt another person or infringe your rights, I can do whatever the fuck I want. I'm an anarchist.
Exactly.
And
it's
that's
like,
how,
you know what?
That's
if,
how it
if,
should
if
be.
If you have enough people get together and you have enough people that have a common goal, things happen. Things happen, mm-hmm. up to and including starting your own fucking nation.
And internet. Like I've always said that, even if they shut the internet. Well, I don't think they'll shut the internet down. I don't think they can for two reasons. It's too interconnected to everything they do. They would lose all money transactions. It's connected into everything. So I don't think they really could. But even if they did, like you said, we have so many smart hackers and stuff in society that we're just going to come out with an ultranet or some alternative version of the internet, like within a couple of days. You know what I mean? It's going to be back up. We can't be stopped. This information revolution can't be stopped. I know so many people that just have hard drive after hard drive of all this alternative information because they knew this day was coming. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I got one hard drive. I'm storing everything I can on it, but everybody should be doing the same because censorship it's only going to get worse before it gets better. You know what I mean? We're going to get to the point where Canada has a fucking Gestapo.
110%.
Yeah, it's not just like we're in the future now. It's not just burning books. It's censoring all the media, social media platforms and everything else. It's the same idea, censorship. They don't want us getting the truth out. They don't want us giving people ideas that we're stronger together. We could take our freedom back. You know what I mean? They would just want us distracted and controlled. Dumbed down,
mm-hmm.
distracted, controlled, and sick.
Yep, 110%. It's like, you know, like it's like it reminds me of like when people couldn't read the Bible, so then the Catholic priests were running around doing whatever they want. It's like
this is exactly
what it reminds me of. It's like if you don't have, you know, if only the leaders hold the knowledge, because people are waking up, like you said, like, you know, like we're waking up, we're figuring out this stuff is happening. So they're trying so hard, like you said, to censor even the internet, and they don't even really have a right to do so, but they're making it happen anyway. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's like they're trying so hard, and it's like like I've been saying, like, you know, even like things like the TV with this whole, like, I hate to keep talking about vaccines, but like with the measles scare, like people are so in tune with emotion that that's all they have to do is flip a switch. It's like Pavlov's dog. You flip a switch and then they start salivating. Like, you know, they just go into straight fear mode. And it's just like, Well, you know, anybody, like, even there's a lot of, like, I've even been seeing, like, a lot of pro-vaxxers, like, they're just like, no, like, don't, like, yeah, we vaccinate our kids. Yeah, we think other people should vaccinate their kids. But, like, don't make that stuff mandatory. Don't do it. Like, that's a bad fucking idea. Bad idea. It's like,
well, the government,
you know.
Plain and simple, the government shouldn't have a right to tell us what we can and cannot put in our bodies at all in the first place. Like, I don't know. They're just so overreaching now. It's crazy. I can't believe humanity is putting up with this. But it's everything. You know what I mean? It's all the chemicals in our food. It's the vaccines. It's the fluoride in the water to keep us sick and docile, distracted. It's the working longer hours with less pay. You know what I mean? Always have us stressed out about bills. The system isn't broken. It was designed this way to keep us down. And it's just getting more and more oppressive. They want more and more from us. They keep raising taxes. It's brutal. And that's why people around the world are waking up. And this censorship that they're doing now is just, it's only further exposing them too. You know what I mean? It's making them look bad. The corruption that has just taken over our governments, that's becoming more and more exposed. They're just ousting themselves. You know, I mean, people already have very little trust in the government to begin with, and pretty soon it'll be zero. You know what I mean? The government is like a wife, is like a wife and a husband situation. You know what I mean? The citizens are the wife. We stay at home. We take care of the family. We do everything. And the government is our husband that just gets drunk all day and goes around and fucks around on us and sleeps with hookers and stuff. And then comes home and gives us herpes and lies about it, and we accept them anyway because we got Stockholm syndrome. And at what point do we say no and just kick the government out of our house and say, no, I don't want to be with you anymore. You gave me herpes, you fucker.
Honestly, I think it's because people don't know of any other solutions. Like, me, for myself, like, I'm so fed up with their bullshit that I dropped out of society altogether. According to them, I'm dead. Period. End of story. Like, the juridical person that I had is now deceased. But there are so many people that want to do that, but they don't have that option because they don't have the option. You know, like, if they do that, then suddenly, you know, like, all the money that you get for child tax and spousal tax and all this other tax that you get back at the end of the year to help you, or, you know, through the months, like, you know, all that money that you get to help you that they tax off your fucking check in the first place that you get back because you've got a family, that's all gone. It's not an easy lifestyle that I live, and I know there's quite a few people when I say it's possible, but be prepared that it is going to be very fucking hard, and be ready to risk losing absolutely everything. So risk losing your house, risk losing, like, your job, risk losing everything. Like, it's not an easy life. But then, you know, getting on with the Rick, you know, like, it's like, it's going to provide that opportunity. I mean, I have a lot of complaints about it, don't get me wrong, but it's still going to provide that opportunity that we don't have to completely change the system upside down from what we know it, because that's another thing. People are so fucking scared of change that if we can just change it a little bit at a time, they'll be more willing. Because, you know, over time, it's like, okay, you know, when it comes to referendums, you know, the politicians want to bring something in. People don't want to bring something in. And then suddenly people have to force themselves to become educated on a subject. Now, when they become educated on just one subject when it comes to politics, what else are they going to be educated on?
Yeah,
you know?
It's a snowball effect here. I don't know. I'm personally like a sponge when it comes to information. I want it all. Soak it into me. But yeah, I completely agree. It's pretty bad. Sorry, slipped my mind what I was going to say.
It's good. Like, I'm not a big fan of the whole, like, you know, a whole country being able to make a decision, you know, on my family's behalf. But at the same time, if we don't like it, we can always create our own referendum and get people educated if we didn't do a good enough job to get people educated the first time to always reverse that. You know, it's like it allows options. That's the thing I like about it the most. It is allows options.
Yeah.
Nothing's ever permanent. It's a matter of, you know, like, it can it benefit, you know, like, I mean, I don't like having to leave the little man behind because everybody matters to me. Every individual matters. That's one thing I really don't like about it. But again, like I said, at the same time, you know, if you really don't like it and it's really impacting you negatively, you know, you can always bring something else to the table or, like, you know, work on something else to, you know, even possibly have you excluded from what's going on. You know, it doesn't, it's not just rock solid. The politicians put it in a place, and you need to go sit on their fucking doorstep and whine. And they're not going to listen to you anyway. It's like, you know, that whiny little teenager comes whining to dad, and dad's just like, yeah, I'm just doing it anyway. Fuck you. You know, like, oh, I'm taking away your phone. Too bad, kiddo. You know, like, it's not like that. It's a matter of, you know, you've got like 15 teenagers, and they're going to kick dad's ass, you know, metaphorically speaking, if dad doesn't listen.
Yeah. Well, it's much more adaptable in the sense that, like, we could say we pass a referendum for one law, and 10 years later, culture norm has changed, and we decided that we don't really like it. We could just make another referendum to either change that law or get rid of it. Like, pot would be a good example of this. Like, how many years did we fight to get pot legalized, you know what I mean, when that could have been done in the 80s or early 90s without all the bureaucratic bullshit? We could have just had a referendum. And now, even though they did legalize pot in Canada, we got fucked over in every aspect of that. Like, the government just wants to be our drug dealers. And they announced that they lost $20 million doing it. Like, I don't know how the hell you lose $20 million selling pot to potheads. And, like, we got twice as many pot laws than we did before. I can get more time in jail for selling a kid a bag of weed than I can for raping him, which is just morally backwards. I don't understand it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. It just baffles me. You know what I mean? Like, we got so screwed over with pot, and that could have been avoided. We could have had this settled a long time ago. You know what I mean? Like, it's that's the power of what this referendum option can do for us. We don't have to deal with this bureaucratic bullshit where things take 30 years to actually get changed, and then when it is changed, we get screwed over. It's such a powerful thing. You know what I mean? We can use it for bank reform. Like, I don't see why we're paying bankers trillions of dollars to print our money out of thin air for us to be debt slaves and more broke while they get more and more rich for doing absolutely nothing. It's like, you see the video of Justin Trudeau trying to hammer in a nail? It's hilarious. He's never done a single day of work in his life. Like he can't even hammer in a nail to a piece of wood. He's whacked at it like 12 times, 20 times. It was funny.
Even I can do it better than that.
No. My 4-year-old son
perfect.
Could. Like, his, we got to see some funny videos from bloopers and everything from our prime minister. I guess we get that out of it at least. You got to find the humor in things or else you go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that boxing match he had where the old guy knocked him out. That was pretty fun to watch too.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of YouTube videos like that. I'm usually like watching like documentary herb stuff or health stuff or reading stuff. I'm in a book almost all the time. I was learning some EFT and some nutrition stuff and shiatsu and all that. I'm a Brook nerd when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I could tell from first meeting you that you're kind of a holistic cures nut. And but that's all really good information. You know, I mean, we should be going back to that too. All modern medicine
agree.
Is just chemical bullshit. They want to keep you sick. They want customers. They don't want to cure you. They want your money for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the vaccine.
Well, it's like, I'm not
going to
lie. It does work for a lot of things. It definitely does work for a lot of things. You know, if herbal remedies and, like, you know, spiritual healing or anything like that, if it fails for some reason, that's the one thing I like about Western medicine. It's like, yeah, it uses surgery and all that other stuff. But, like, you know, it's amazing for emergencies. And they are incredible when it comes to saving your life. You get hit by a car, those people are, like, working dog like dogs day and night to get you to stay alive. And then after,
yep.
you know, like, you deal with that and, you know, you get through that, you know, then you can go back to, like, the herbal remedies and all those other alternative healing methods to speed your healing. But, like, I ain't even going to knock it. Like, Western medicine, that is the one perk that it has, is to deal with emergencies, broken bones, such bad infections that, like, herbs don't touch it. Like, you know, things like that, it has got you running in circles. But for the rest, things like chronic disease or anything that comes holistically, like nutrition, anything like that, you might as well just fucking kick it to the curb. It's got nothing on that shit.
Yep,
and
I completely agree.
We're going to take another quick 5-minute break. If anybody's listening right now, I've been getting word that it's been cutting in and out, so hopefully it's recording properly, and if that's the case, I can send that recording out to everybody. If it did, we'll see, because, you know, government censorship, all that fun stuff, haha. If you're listening live right now on www.freedomizerradio.com, you can clip on the top right corner, join chat, or you can call in 319-527-6208. And for my peeps who are in the messenger, who are listening because Facebook is not working efficiently today, if you want to type any comments or questions there, I can always relay them to Justin as well. But we're going to take a 5-minute break, and we will be right back.
Journey into Freedom is a show about just that. Come join me as we discuss alternative medicine, energy work, homeschooling, homesteading, barefooting, grounding, and so much more. This is a program where I want people to be heard and to share thoughts and ideas and opinions on everyday freedoms. Learning to free yourself from all things no longer serving to your purpose is the first step to living free. So let's discuss what makes us free and how we can attain those freedoms every day by the way we choose to live. Journey into Freedom with me, your host, Red Gypsy. Hope to see you then. Namaste.
Tune in to the Mad Scientist Expo Show every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, where we discuss the science in the news today, take a closer look, and expose where fraud is being committed for various agendas, from money to politics to downright pure evil and malice. Of course we trust science. It's scientists we don't trust. Tune in and join the conversation on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
The way you grow with no pesticides, I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with so locally, I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it, no diggity, no doubt.
We've got squash and peas, calling it a pack for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Hey, now that plant looks good. I want to grow it. I want to taste it.
You're my kind of girl.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden, peacefulbelly.com. Support your local organic farmers.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer Radio host Alan Phillips. My Vaccine Exemption eBook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an eBook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Sam, host of Against the Grain. We are back today with Justin Long. We've had an interesting show. Half his show has been cut out. I've been informed by my listeners that half the show isn't even working, so we're going to fucking wing it because that's what we do. It's the Wing It Show. So we do it the Rick. Just kidding. We're a lot more organized yeah. than Rick. We actually
we have a process.
We even have votes on things, except for Sam. Sam just doesn't think sometimes, and Sam just does. Because Sam gets excited, Sam just, and then Sam just does things.
Sam jumps the gun sometimes, but that's okay.
Yes, Sam jumps the gun sometimes. I don't mean to. I'm so sorry. I'm so used to, like, running my own show on, like, everything in my life that it's just like, oh, let's just do this. And it's like, fuck, now I have to wait for everybody. Like,
yeah, that's the crappy thing about it, I guess, right? Democracy has its ups and its downs. It would be nice if we could all be dictators, but I don't think the world would work out that way.
No. There'd probably, yeah, it'd be a lot of people sitting on little tire hills pointing fingers at each other.
Yeah.
King of the hill.
So you mentioned that you were sovereign, and I just want to say, like, kudos to you. You're personally one of my idols just for that. I've done a lot of research into personal sovereignty and just trying to get away from this government system. Ever since I dived into that rabbit hole, I've wanted to escape society. You know what I mean? Especially living in a city, it drives me nuts. Like, I work in Toronto, and I just picture ants and giant ant, just ants, you know what I mean? And a giant ant hill, fucking mundane little robots doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And I hate the fact that I'm one of them. Like,
for the good of the colony. Have you ever seen that movie, Ant?
Yeah, oh, it's great. That analogy where he throws the coconut at the other ant. He's like, oh, that's just one ant. That's not a problem. He's like, yeah. And then he opens up the tube of a million coconuts falling on the little guy. And he's like, that's what all the ants will do. They're a threat. You know, and that's a great analogy. I love that movie.
That's Bugs Life.
Oh, is it? Okay, my mistake. Well, that's
okay.
Much
they're
better.
Both
that's
good movies. I love both those movies. They are just amazing. They're amazing. No ants is when that general ant is trying to make everybody dig to the they're digging this super tunnel, and what he wants to do is he wants to take out the whole colony, and he just wants to take the queen or like the princess, and they're just basically gonna fuck off and start their own thing. But he's gonna
I have seen both. I just mix them up. I'm sorry. Fucking,
that's okay.
Both good movies.
They're good
both
analogies,
good movies. They're
though.
Both, yeah. The Matrix is another one with a great analogy of what, like, the Matrix is our corrupt system, you know, and that's what they're talking about through the whole movie. It's a great analogy. I've spent some time up north, northern Ontario. I have family up in, like, Massey, north of Espanola, and up into Thunder Bay, Blonde River, all that. And it's such a beautiful country up there. And I've always been kind of a country boy at heart, but stuck in the city, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm jealous of, like, just me and my friends were talking, too. We want to start a homestead. Like an Earthship homestead.
Yep.
I want an Earthship. He wants to build a house out of sea containers. To each their own.
Mm.
Who cares? But if you get into an unorganized township way up north, you don't need permits to build anything.
Oh, wow.
That was our plan, to get some land up there and get some chickens and goats and be as self-sustaining as possible. And that's why I love Earthships. I don't know if do you know what an Earthship is?
I follow White Walking Feather on Steemit. I've had him on my show last year. Incredible guy. He builds like Earthships and lives off grid and stuff like that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
He's also like off the grid. If you find him on Steemit, like that's Robin the Page family, White Walking Feather on Steemit. Follow him. He is incredible.
Awesome. Yeah, I've always loved being outdoors. My grandparents had a cottage on Manitoulin Island, so when I was young, I spent every summer up there. It's so beautiful up there. Like you could be in the water a couple hundred feet deep and see the bottom crystal clear. It's such a beautiful part of the country, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big part of my childhood. I was heartbroken when my grandparents had to sell the cottage due to financial reasons and stuff. Life just gets on you. And, that's one of my, I don't know, it kind of broke my heart that my son didn't get to experience that, you know what I mean? It was gone before he was born. It was definitely the best part of my childhood. I'd wake up in the morning, run out to the lake, go swimming, go catching frogs and critters and stuff. It was like, before I had a worry in the world, before I knew what was going on, that's when I was free. You know what I mean? I want to go back to that. I want to go back to being free. I want to go back to waking up and going for a swim in a lake. Like,
Like, it's the one thing I'm looking so forward to with this whole, you know, like, referendum thing. It's like, if we could get rid of property tax, like, oh, my God, that would just, that's the number one thing besides the fucking bankers holding people down, because it's a glorified rent. And if you can't pay to rent, you're kicked off the property, and they're going to rent it to somebody else. It's like, you know, like,
It's your own property. I've never understood that. Fucking, why are you paying rent for your own property after you buy it? Like, it's so, and it's like condo fees. I never understood all these rich people in Toronto buying condos and paying like a $600 fucking condo fee every month. Like, first off, what job do you have? How can you afford to live here? And second, like, why are you paying rent on top of your mortgage? I don't understand. You know what I mean? It doesn't cost $600 a month to have the fucking front walkway shoveled. Like, it's just, I don't know. I don't get it. People seem to have more money than brains. And then there's some people without both. But,
I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. It's always perplexed me. That's why I've always had so much respect for you guys, like people that have actually gained their personal sovereignty and broken away from the system. You're few and far between. You're hard to find. And you're even harder to speak to on a personal level because, like, a lot of people are just like, hey, you're that sovereign person. Can I ask you a million questions, Shireen? So I've been blessed personally to know a few of you, and it was looking into that sovereignty moment that that really helped me get into all this to begin with. And I got so much respect for people that are actually able to break away from the system and be free. I'm jealous. I want to one day. You know what I mean? I've been studying the processes and everything. I tried to challenge the courts on my right to travel. I thought I was pretty good with all that. And I had everything lined up. I had Supreme Court precedents and everything. They put me in a private courtroom with 10 armed cops. And I was subjected to kangaroo court bullshit. The judge wouldn't answer any of my questions. Actually, the prosecutor stopped me from asking the questions to the cop, from cross-examining them. So that's against the rules of procedure to begin with. I'm supposed to be allowed to, as long as I'm asking different questions and they're relevant. But they prevented me from doing that. And then the prosecutor wouldn't answer on anything about the grounds for the claim. They just wouldn't answer any questions. And then the judge flat out told me she didn't know the difference between a civil charge and a criminal charge. And I was like, well, I was like, you're a fucking judge. You know what I mean? Like, shouldn't you know these things? Like, can you point me in the direction of somebody who can answer my questions? But yeah, they just ignored everything I had to say, ignored my Supreme Court precedents, ignored the fact that I pointed out they weren't following the rules of procedure and everything else. And they just found me guilty anyway. That was an experience. It was fun. I got to record it all, though, because I knew my rights. So I was able to defend that one, even though there's signs on all the courtroom doors that you can't audio record or video record any of these proceedings. The attorney general actually made a statement in the late 90s, I think it was, saying that, yeah, for the purpose of making your own notes, you can audio record your court proceedings. So I brought that statement from the attorney general into the courts, and I was like, no, this is the law. I know what I'm allowed to do. I'm doing it. And they couldn't stop me. They allowed me to record everything. But I can't let anybody listen to that recording or it would be a felony. I can write it all down in my perspective and I can talk about it, but nobody can listen to that recording or I've committed a felony.
Well, somebody's going to have to hack your computer and release that information without your consent. Just saying.
Yeah,
just kidding.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Accidents happen.
Where's Clinton when you need her?
Yeah, accidents happen. but yeah, that was quite an experience. They ended up charging me with like close to $13,000. They made it a big example out of me. It was funny when I got arrested. They were literally going through the little law book. Like they're like, well, we can get them for this, but I'm not quite sure about this law. Like they were literally trying to throw the book at me. It was fun. I can't wait to do it again, actually.
Well, I wouldn't do it again if you still have a license. See, in my experience, when you don't have any contracting instruments, they can't get you with nothing.
That's just it, Sam. I've never had a license.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I studied. I know my shit, and I can't wait to challenge it again. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't meet the time to appeal it because right around that time in my life, my grandmother died. I lost my job, and, like, everything just went to shit personally. So...
Huh.
I'm a procrastinist a bit, and I kind of just let that appeal date pass me by. But I plan on doing it again. I don't work over the table. I don't pay taxes. They can't get blood from a stone, and I'd rather go to jail than pay them. So, I'll rack up some more charges and try it again. Challenge them again. And
well,
I seen one guy.
Don't get in trouble on
in
purpose. Just do your thing. And if they come at you, well, I mean, ignorance of the law is no excuse, right? Just respond and try and stay out of court because court is a very corrupt place. You've already had experience with that. That is not the place to be unless you change jurisdiction. So.
Yes. Well, next time I plan on doing it, I'm not going to have any ties to the government, like my personal ID and everything. I think that was one of my main downfalls. And plus, I know. I've learned a little more how to challenge the court before you even get there. The early meeting with the prosecutor, she flat out lied to me because I wanted to challenge jurisdiction right then and there. And she's like, no, that's a trial issue. You have to bring that before the judge. I can't do anything about that. And then as I was studying before the court date, I found out that, no, you can challenge jurisdiction at any time, and they have to respect that and answer your questions. But she flat out lied to me.
Yeah, you can even do it in the courtroom.
Well, and I did. But it was by that time I was already surrounded by 10 armed cops in a kangaroo court with a judge that didn't know the difference between a civil charge and a criminal charge. So it didn't help me. But if I did it beforehand in writing or something, like just did it slightly differently, I think I would have been more successful. You know what I mean? It's a learning curve. I know now that I should have been able to challenge the jurisdiction with the prosecutor right then before the court date. And I was lied to. Yeah. Of course. Like
of
everything
course.
They do is deceitful and it's just it's all for money. You know, I mean, it's not for your safety, it's for them to make money. That's why they focus more on handing out speeding tickets and tickets for smoking a joint in your car and shit like that than they focus on actually finding murderers and arresting terrorists. Like they're much more concerned with revenue collection than they are than keeping you safe.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I got pulled over this last, what was it, in fall, I think it was, because I was supposed to be teaching a childbirth class with my friend. I'll tell this story really quick. I got pulled over by the cop, and I was traveling in an unlicensed vehicle, as so they say, and I didn't have a driver's license because not too long before that, I had actually sent my license back, and I got myself a notarized identification that
yeah.
I was no longer, you know, doing that kind of stuff. If you've seen Mika's, you know mine looks like his. And this cop had me pulled over for like an hour, and he was threatening to detain me indefinitely until he found out who I was. I pulled all the stops on this fucking guy. Everything that, like, you know, Mika's ever taught me, I was pulling the stops. I was like, just write a ticket to this. Just do this. Just do this. And he just would not fucking have it. He's just like, just give me your name. Give me your name. And it's like, I was trying to tell him, like, I can't. Like, I can't. And he just would not let me go. And he's like, you better get somebody down here to watch your kids because you're going with me. I was like, holy fuck. I even got his chief on the phone. You know, like the cop, you know, and he's like, same thing. He's just like, nope, don't want to hear it. Just give him what you want. Otherwise, you're coming to jail. I was like, oh, my God. So I was like, I got Mika on the phone. And he's like, okay, if you've pulled all the stops, just give them what they want. Just give them what they want. So, okay, I gave him the name that he was looking for, and he couldn't write a ticket to it. And this is the funny part, is because my best friend was standing right there looking at the screen, and he pulled the information up on the screen that was necessary to write a ticket. However, he could still not write that ticket in the name that he was seeking because it no longer existed. So he wrote it with incorrect information. And still had to issue
yeah.
something. I'm going to assume that he had to, like, quit to, like, cancel it or something after. But absolutely nothing on the information on the ticket was correct. And, like, it was funny because, like, my friend, she's just like, I saw it. It was right there. I'm like, well, if you don't have a contracting instrument, because I told this cop, I told him, like, I'm on my way to my best friend's house. We're going to be teaching childbirth classes, so we're practicing today. And I was like I didn't hide anything. I told him where I lived. I was like, I told him what I'm doing. I told him, you know, everything. I was like, I'm not trying to hide anything from you. I just want to go from point A to point B, dude, and just, like, not get shot on the way. You know, and I told him, I was like, I'm kind of scared right now because, like, it's plus fucking 35 out here, and my car does not blow fucking cold air. My kids are screaming in the back. It's like he wouldn't let me get out of the car. It's like, oh, my God, it was just a mess. But, like, I learned from that. It's like, don't hide shit from the cops. Just ask them what, you know, they gave for it. And, like, I wasn't lying to him. He thought I was lying. And I told him, like, no, I don't got no contracting instruments no more. I canceled that shit. He thought I was lying. I wasn't lying. Pulled it up. It was real. I was like, yeah, like, I'm not lying, dude.
Yeah.
So that was my first experience with cops, and it could have went a lot better, but it was learning.
You're so few and far between, right? When they actually meet somebody who has no ties to the government and is actually sovereign, then they really don't know how to handle themselves. They're really confused. And that's why it is a dangerous thing, too, because you get arrogant cops that just, well, I had a few of them, actually. That's what went wrong with me, because I was very compliant myself. I wasn't trying to cause problems or anything. I told them the usual spiel, you know what I mean? I'm not required to give you my name unless I've broken a law. I haven't broken a law. I'm just traveling from point A to point B. Like, this is my own property. Fucking, you know what I mean? Yeah, I was, they pulled a gun on me, dragged me out of the vehicle, handcuffed me, and then they pulled out my ID and said I was lying about my name, which I hadn't even given them my name yet. Like, yeah, it was a bunch of bullshit. Fucking,
yeah.
Hamilton cops aren't nice. Even when you're nice to them, they're not that nice.
Just do what they ask.
One of my earliest experiences with cops as an adult, I was in the strip club, and my buddy got too drunk, and he got in a fight with the bouncer or whatever. The bouncer was kicking him out, and the bouncer shoved him outside of the door to the point where he almost, like, fell in traffic. And I'm screaming at the bouncer, like, you can't fucking do that, you know what I mean, this and that. And then all of a sudden, I got speared by this guy in normal clothes at the door of the strip club I was at, and he's holding me down, and this another guy comes, knees me in the head, and I'm flipping out. I'm like, you cocksuckers, what the fuck you are? And I'm flipping out, and then my cousin comes out, and then I find out that they're cops. Like, they weren't in uniform or anything. They were plain clothes. They never announced themselves. They just, like, one guy speared me, and the other guy proceeded to knee me in the head. And that was my first experience as an adult with cops. I got to spend the night in the drunk tank, and as they're taking me to jail, I'm like, I was at the bar. I wasn't drunk in public. I was at the bar. That's where you go to get drunk. Like, I was doing what I was supposed to. Like, I didn't do anything wrong. And then so I go to jail for the night, and then in the morning they hand me this ticket, And I'm like, I'm not fucking paying this. I'm not paying you to beat me up. Like, there's no way. Like, so yeah. I've never paid any of these. I refuse to do it. I'll go back to jail before I pay them their extortion money here. Like,
I'm paying you to beat me up. That's so weird.
Yeah, that's how
I'm
yeah, right? Like, I'm not like that. The officer wasn't even cute. I'm so disappointed.
His muscles, though. oh, my God. It just went there. Like our group. But real life.
they get interesting sometimes, yeah. It's fun to be a little dysfunctional.
Oh, yeah. It's always good. It's always good.
The craziest people are the best people.
Oh, yes. It's so fun. I love our group. It's like, I love our group at the Rick. It's like, we're all so different, but we balance each other out so well. And we get along. Like, you know, even if we don't agree on things, we still just get along. It's just like, okay, you know, like, well, whatever it is, what it is, you know?
Yeah. That's the Rick. That's the Rick process in a nutshell. Not everybody's going to be completely happy, but everybody can compromise. You know what I mean?
Well, that's part of natural law. When you join a group of people, you kind of got to compromise a little bit. And that comes with, you know, things like communication and some selflessness and, you know, being willing to, you know, give a little and take a little, but, you know, like not have things like expectations. Communication is key. You know, don't expect anybody to do anything, but definitely be willing to offer if you can do it.
Well, imagine just using the Rick to put things back to common law and, like, using the like, say, let's make a referendum and say that no contract can exist unless it meets all eight elements of a lawful contract, according to common law. You know what I mean? Imagine, like, there goes everybody's mortgage contract. It's all based in fraud. Like, none of these contracts that we have in today's society are lawful.
We eliminate the whole process of taking these assholes to court. I mean, if you take it to court and you win, usually they'll, like, you know, give you what you want, tell you to be quiet, and move you on your way. But it's like, you know, not a lot of people are willing to go all the way and then possibly lose everything while they're on their way there.
Well, I read an article by a retired police chief, and he wrote an article stating everybody should just challenge their tickets, their driving tickets. He's like, if everybody did that for a week straight, the court system would just collapse. It would shut down. It couldn't handle that many people, even just contesting their tickets. They designed it to just, like, 95% of the people that get a ticket, they just pay it. You know what I mean? Even if they think they might be able to win, they don't want to take the time out of their busy life, and it's confusing to them. So they just pay the ticket. And even with income tax, there's a thing known as phishing, where they just send out income tax bills that aren't accurate, but they're upped by an extra $1,500 or whatever, just enough that you'll pay it without complaining, but not enough for you to actually fight it. And, yeah, they do this all the time. They just send it out. And I've heard this from ex-IRS agents. They're like, this is common practice. They call it phishing. They just send out random bills for $1,500 to $2,000 to random people, and 90% of them pay it. You know what I mean? So, like, it's a cash grab. It's a fucking, they only want your money. They don't care about your safety. They don't care about you not being sick or anything. They just want your money. And as long as we keep giving it to them, they're going to keep taking it. And, yeah, even worse than that, we gave them the privilege to create it in the first place and charge us an interest on that. So, like, they're getting rich. And it's all based on fraud. If we could just go back to having common law and following the eight elements of a lawful contract, it would reset everything. You know what I mean? Just with that one referendum. Yeah, that's a big thing too. That's why we need. I've wanted to homeschool my kids so bad. The mother of my child has the time. She just doesn't have the confidence. And I've tried telling her, like, there's programs online that'll basically walk you through the whole process, and, like, I'll help.
Yes. But, there's so much stuff, and homeschooling is becoming so popular now. I mean, hell, tell her to message me, and I'll fucking hook her up with a few groups. Like, yeah.
Yeah, she's, I don't know, she's got social anxiety, so she's not into alternative anything. She's not into knowing anything. It's like a brick wall. You get that fluoride stare that happens with people. And she knows I'm right with some of it, too. She's just too scared to look into it further. You know what I mean? So that's always been a problem with her. It took me years to fight. I fought with her about vaccines and our son for many, many years, and she's finally allowed me to go against the school when they demand the next schedule. But even that's getting harder and harder to do. And the exemption forms that they have for Ontario anyway are written up by a lawyer and designed that, so that you, when you sign that vaccination exemption form, you're signing that you're negligent to your child and you're accepting liability for it. With, like,
yep.
It's all written up by a lawyer. It's a fucking trap, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I
mean, people don't
know
you can alter the contract either. I mean, you know that you can alter the contract and hand it in? People don't know that.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I know enough that I could say, no, I'm not signing this. Here's my contract. You sign it. You know what I mean? Like,
Yep.
Yeah.
Or scribble their shit out and write
law.
A new one.
Contract law is so important to know, even though that the society doesn't seem to use it very much. It's good to know then on how they're screwing you over. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first things I dove into, sovereignty and then contract law and the financial system, all that. It's always, I've always been very interested in. That's how they control us, money, right? It controls every aspect of us. And, yeah, if you control money, you control people. Now they want to control the food and control the fucking water. Like, we got giant corporations like Nestle that have been lobbying the government for, like, the last 10 years straight with to the tune of umpteen billions of dollars to try to make it so that water isn't a human right.
Yep.
Like, this is what our governments are accepting money for, you know what I mean? Rich corporations to try to take our rights away. Something as simple and as necessary as water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got contracts with Nestle where they pay like $500 and they take out 1 million gallons of our Great Lakes and sell it to us like a buck a bottle. Like, it's just, it's unfathomable.
Yeah,
it's
plastic, that destroys everything. So.
Yeah, well, hemp, like, why aren't we making plastics out of hemp? You know what I mean? Like, hemp is amazing. I don't understand why we're not making the world's plastic out of hemp where it's biodegradable in a matter of a year.
Yeah, and, you know, it's renewable. It's easy to grow, and it's not like you need, like, it's not like if you're eating it where you actually need, like, you know, proper nutrition that, you know, gets farmed out after, you know, large corporate batches being produced year after year after year. But it's, yeah, good stuff. Unfortunately, though, we're at the end of our time today. Hell of an interesting show, and it was so fun. I want to say a big thank you for coming on the show today, and I'm sorry to my listeners for all the weird things that were happening today. I guess that's just the government doesn't like us talking. So big thank you, and there we go.
Well,
big thank you, Justin.
It was a pleasure to be on. Thank you for extending the invite, and, it was great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Oh, you guys, we have Proof Negative Show coming up next at Real Patriot News. You can find Justin and I and our team, Will and Boyd and Go God, all of us, Malicious, all of us over there at the Yellow Vest Rick Alliance on Facebook or on Instagram, ric.yvc. We have YouTube coming up, and we have a website coming up. So if you pop over to our Facebook page, Yellow Vest/Rick Alliance. You will find us there, and it'll keep you updated with all that fun stuff. So we will catch you guys again next week. Have a very happy Wednesday and a very good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye.